Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, a biblically Lutheran podcast for Toledo and beyond. You've got your daily Bible reading, your 10 minutes with Jesus. Today we're picking it up in Philippians chapter 1, and we'll probably start again in the last part of verse 18. Here goes. Paul writes, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. A desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you, or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." This is the word of our God. Paul continues his thankfulness to God for the Philippians, and he prays earnestly for them, and he talks to them very, very frankly. And in an encouraging way, of course. he's not downtrodden, and he's not fretting. He knows that whatever happens, his life is in God's hands. And whatever Jesus decides is better for him and is better for his church will be what is the result. Whether he is, released from prison and continues in his ministry, or whether Paul goes on to be executed for crimes against the state, as he eventually was, executed, and then he gets to be in heaven with Jesus. But his confidence is that he knows his standing with God, and that standing with God isn't something that depends on his perception of his external circumstances. That your standing with God also does not depend and cannot be determined. Maybe that's the key point, that your standing with God cannot be determined by the events of your life, and by how your life is going, and by your perception of whether it's been good things that have happened to you, or bad things, or some mix thereof. Those things will not give any indication as to your standing with God. Absolutely guaranteed. That's the major truth that we're seeing here in this opening chapter, and we'll talk about it a little bit more this coming Sunday when we discuss the seventh petition, "Deliver us from evil." The fact that you cannot determine what God thinks of you or your standing with God based on the events of your life. And the reverse is also true, that that your standing with God doesn't necessitate that events in your life have to be wonderful and good and pleasant. Because Jesus even makes that point in our gospel lesson for this coming Sunday. I think it's from Luke chapter 14. But it's the same thing that he had said in Mark numerous times, that if anybody would come after me, he must take up his cross daily and follow me. In other words, the Christian life of faith is one that is marked by the cross of Christ. The Christian life of faith will follow in the footsteps of Christ. And so that means that success is something that God reserves for something that we see, we will see eventually by sight. But success is something that we see now only through faith, and that we perceive now only through faith. And Paul makes that point very strongly here when he talks about this as though he himself were involved in this decision, as though, he's in a no-lose situation. And someone would say, well, Paul, first of all, you're in prison. Second of all, you might be here for a while and then you'll be released. Or thirdly, Paul, you might be executed. How is that a good thing? And Paul says, you know what? I know my Lord. I know the people that are praying for me. I know the fellowship that we share here on earth. I know my Lord. And this Jesus has promised only good things. And sometimes those only good things are hidden under what look like the worst of bad things. The worst of bad things like imprisonment, false imprisonment, even trial and execution. And so he encourages them. He says, by the way, verse 27, this is very important. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Verse 27, whatever happens. Paul's like, you know what? Whether it's something that we would call good or something that we would call bad, for the most part, we can't assign a moral character to the events of our lives. Maybe if somebody sins against us, that sin itself is a bad thing. If somebody falsely accuses you, if somebody harms you or your family or something like that, that sin itself is a bad thing. But God's promise is that they will bear the culpability for the moral character of what they do. But for you and for me, the events of our life, God promises to turn into a blessing. So Paul's like, you know, whatever happens, whether, you know, it's from our perception good or bad or option A or option B, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. A manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. The image there is of scales. You know, like if you go to the market, and this is before you have a standardized currency like paper dollars or swipe your debit card, credit card, or coins or whatever. And you would come there with your money, usually in a bag, and or whatever it is that you're trying to sell, and you want to purchase, let's say, 5 pounds of beans, and then you would balance it out based on whatever currency you happen to bring along. And so the image is of considering what God has placed on one side of the scale, the gospel of Christ. That's what he says here in verse 27. And for us, conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, we want to do our best to balance out the scale on the other side. Not that we ever will, and not that it is some drudgery, but this is our striving today and tomorrow and always to live in such a way that we live up to the reputation that God has placed on us in holy baptism, to live in such a way that people gain greater insight into the Jesus that they already know, to live and act and talk in such a way that others would ask and wonder, what is it that makes that person different? What do they have that I don't? To conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, where if you were to place all of the gifts of Jesus, such as obviously the forgiveness of sins and eternal life and salvation, also peace of mind, peace of heart, also this understanding of how the world actually works, because you have insight into spiritual things that the rest of this world knows nothing about. If you consider all the blessings that Christ has given to us, and we consider on the other side of the scale, how do we live? How do we live in a manner that is worthy of that? How do we honor Jesus by the way that we conduct ourselves and our lives? How do we live in a way that is worthy of the gospel of Christ? You know, congregationally, that might take on the shape and the form of being more involved in our ministry. That might take in the shape and form of thinking about why we do what we do in worship, and having and letting that gospel so predominate in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives that we can't help but invite, we can't help but speak, we can't help but serve, because this drives everything that we do. And it has to drive everything that we do, because if it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, if it's not Christ's love for you that motivates what you do, then we're lost, and then we have nothing of benefit to offer aside from maybe any other civic organization in this world. But this is what makes the church different. This is what makes Christians different, that you have all of these gifts from Christ, and you've been given them to dispense and to use and to rejoice over and to conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And the prayer is just, you know, Lord, give me one more opportunity to put something more on my side of the scale. Not that I could ever pay you back, but I want the opportunity to continue living here for just a little bit longer. Continue living in a manner that demonstrates the worth that I place on you. To live in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. And I invite you to check us out Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. at 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee. If you follow us on Instagram at Raised with Jesus and you click the bio link, that will also give you links to all of our other areas where you can find our YouTube page and our Facebook page and all that stuff. And if this podcast has been helpful or beneficial or a blessing to you, I encourage you to share it with a friend. Maybe just click that share button on any particular episode that you really liked, or just mention it to somebody and say, hey, you know, I can find it on your phone for you. All through the Podbean app, just search for Raised with Jesus, or through your Stitcher or Google Play or Apple iOS podcasts app. At any rate, any questions? I'm Pastor Hagen, 419-262-8280. Have a great day.